the afternoon session. We have now the talk that we postponed from this morning on the Borexino and Dark Side experiment. This presentation will be given by Dmitry Naumov.
So, good afternoon, everyone. So, I'm not Oleg Smirnov because he is sick with the flu today. So, I'm going to replace him with this presentation. So, this talk is about the Borexino and Dark Side. Borexino is an experiment who was one of the most influential experiments measuring solar neutrinos and their properties. And Dark Side is a kind of a future experiment which is looking for detection of dark matter particles. So they are somehow combined in one package here because of several reasons, and let me mention some of them. So on the left figure, you can see a Borexino detector, which is a liquid scintillator detector with about 100 tons of liquid scintillator. Surrounded by additional materials and observing the light by photomultipliers. A counter test facility for this detector is shown here. So this test facility was very important at the early stages of this experiment because it showed the principles, the proof of principles that this detector will work. And now this test facility is used as a housing for a new detector, which is dark matter detector called Dark Side. So Dark Side detector will use liquid argon, which is a two-phase detector, and it will read two signals. One is usual liquid scintillator signals with light, scintillation light, and so on. And another is the signal which is induced by drifting electrons, because the whole volume is placed inside of electric field, which is a vertical field here. And therefore, the reading is happening here in the gaze phase of this liquid argon detector. So let me first make a short summary of what was achieved by the group in the last 2 years. Actually, the report should be given for 3 years, but some why it was asked us to make it earlier by 1 year. So there was a number of quite important, unfortunately it's almost dead, quite important measurement performed with Borexino experiment. One is the flux of beryllium-7 neutrino was dramatically improved up to 3% precision, and seasonal variations at 5 standard deviation level have been observed. They observed also PEP neutrino flux with better than 3 sigma accuracy. Boron neutrino for the first time with liquid scintillator detector was measured by Borexino collaboration, and now they aim to measure it with 10% accuracy, and they actually measure it with 8% accuracy. They placed a 2 times beta limit on magnetic moment of neutrino from the sun, and so these are topics which are accomplished so far. There are 2 items which are not yet finished, and they plan to accomplish them in 2018, just according to the original plan. So this is an improvement in geo-neutrino flux measurement and study of non-standard neutrino interactions. And some items were shifted to the new proposal. These items are CNO neutrino flux measurement, because it turned out to be much more difficult than they originally thought. And the so-called SOX project, which is a project looking for sterile neutrino due to some reasons not attributable to the authors of these proposals. This source is not yet ready, and they seek to measure it in the next phase of this experiment, 2019-2021. As for Dark Side, they made a prototype, which is a 50 kilogram of liquid argon, and they reach a sensitivity for the 100 GV mass weakly interactive particle of this scale, 210 to the minus 44 centimeter square. It is not the best sensitivity because this is just a prototype. Certainly, other experiments like PandaX or LUX, they do it better. But as a proof of principles, this is quite important achievement. And they plan to develop this into the second generation of dark side experiment, which will be about three tons of liquid argon. And its expected sensitivity is tremendous, so it is more than two orders of magnitude better, actually, than the current best limit, which is obtained by LUX and PandaX. So what is particularly contribution from the Dubna group? So it is composed here. So they do a lot of analysis, like analytical procedure for spectral analysis, pile-up modeling, beryllium-7 and PP, magnetic moment, non-standard interactions, and geoneutrinos. So they are a very small group, but they are quite active and doing, I would say, tremendous amount of work. And also, this part is more activity related to dark side. And so there are also new people here who are doing this work right now. Let me highlight some of the most striking results of this group in the last 2 years. So they observed a seasonal variation of neutrino flux, beryllium-7 neutrino flux. So it's quite easy to understand that if this is the sun and Earth is going around by an ellipse, then in the summer it is further away from the sun, while in the winter it is closer to the sun. And therefore, you should expect just a variation of the flux of neutrino from the sun. And this is really what is observed. And if you put some fantasy about that, you could imagine that you can detect by measuring solar neutrinos from underground what is the year, how many days per year on the Earth, so without any light, without any other thing. So I would say this is quite remarkable. And their measurement is 367 plus minus 10 days. So this is the period of the year they measure it with help of neutrinos. Another very important result, in my opinion, is the very, say, accurate measurement of oscillation probability, or survivable probability of electron neutrino as a function of neutrino energy, which is going from the low energy where matter effects are not important and going to the resonance where there is a Mihaev-Smirnov-Wolfenstein resonance where they are very important, and finally reaching relatively large energies, about 10 mega electron volt, where matter effects are very important, and here happens a adiabatic transition of neutrino, which is produced as electron neutrino and coincides, roughly speaking, with the second eigenstate of the Hamiltonian in matter. So it is very remarkable that all this theory, quantum mechanical picture, is actually pretty much reproduced in one experiment. And so this data is very important, and this is why it is very influential in the neutrino community. They also did some other searches, like looking for correlations of low energy neutrinos with gamma ray bursts or with gravitational wave events. Apparently, they did not find anything about that, but there are at least two good papers published. And in 2017, Dubna group has published 7 papers, plus 3 papers in proceedings, 6 talks on the conference, and posters and lectures, and so on. And in total, in 2016-2017, they have published in reviewed journals 12 papers. So now let me go to the dark side, which is an experiment looking for dark matter particle detection. Since it is using liquid argon, one issue with the liquid argon is the presence of argon-39, which is a radioactive nuclei, and this is nuclei which is decaying with the beta decay, and thus it produces a signal which is mimicking signal from the dark matter. Therefore, they did a very special dedicated survey looking for argon, which has a much smaller contribution from this isotope. And actually, they found a cavern deep on the ground, which is not connected to the Earth area. And they build up a system for liquidization of this air, and they finally extracted a needed amount of liquid argon without this dangerous isotope. And so they found this with a factor 1500 lower concentration of this isotope. And after that, they demonstrated that discrimination power of the liquid argon TPC against of electromagnetic recoil relative to nuclear recoil reached the level of 3 billions. And this allowed them to put this limit on the mass of the cross-section of the weakly interacting particle. Dark side 50 still continues to take data, and they already accumulated 650 days. If you go back to Borexino, since the start of the data taking, they had two very big different phases. So this is phase one and phase two. Before the phase one, they had a filling of the detector and basically construction of the detector, and the data taking began in 2007. And during this phase, they accomplished a number of important measurements, like measurement of beryllium flux, plus day-night asymmetry. They first observed PEP neutrinos and first observation of boron neutrinos and put some limit on CNO neutrinos. And they made the first robust observation of geoneutrino, which is a very important discovery mentioned by Nature papers and so on. After liquid scintillator purification, which took 2 years, they end up with a phase two, where they significantly reduced the background. And finally, they observed PP neutrino flux and found a seasonal variation of beryllium-7 flux and did simultaneous spectroscopy of various components of solar neutrinos and put a better limit for the geoneutrino. One of the intriguing puzzles in the current solar physics is the abundance of so-called heavy elements. What means the heavy elements? For astrophysicists, these are elements heavier than helium-4. So there are two data sets which are important to try to measure these metallic abundances. They call these abundances metallic. One is the so-called heliosismology, and another is a direct measurement in the protosphere of the sun. And it turned out that this measurement yielded in different abundances of heavy elements, of metallic elements. And if these abundances are different, then the predictions of solar neutrinos are also slightly different. And therefore, solar neutrinos, in principle, are sensitive to the abundances of metallic components in the sun. And one of these observable is the ratio of two flux of beryllium-7 plus this combination, flux of PP minus flux of beryllium-7. So this ratio is just proportional, or actually just this branch here. So it is proportional to the ratio of helium-3 plus helium-4 in the sun divided by helium-3 plus helium-3. And so in the high metallicity model, they predict this ratio to be 0.18, in low metallicity 0.16. What they measure it is 0.18 plus minus 0.02. So far, no solid conclusion can be drawn. Another observable is the individual component of beryllium neutrinos and boron neutrinos. And again, low Z and high Z models predict slightly different. And what they observed is this. So again, they cannot disentangle between these two models. And there is one more observable, which is more sensitive to this. This is a CNO neutrinos, which are never observed experimentally. So this is why it is so interesting and important. Again, for high Z, the CNO flux is expected to be 5 counts per day per 100 ton. And for low Z, this is 3 counts per day per 100 ton. The main background to this is bismuth-210 nucleus, which are unavoidable in a liquid scintillator, because their rate is 20 counts per day per 100 tons. Therefore, the goal is to measure this bismuth contribution as much precisely as possible, and finally to extract the CNO flux at the level of 1 to 2 standard deviations. So this is their goal. And how to do this? This is not so trivial, because this bismuth is in some radioactive chain with polonium and plumbum and lead. And what they observed is that the rate of polonium changes with time exponentially. So it has about 130 days lifetime, so it is exponentially decaying. However, please look that at some times there are drops up and down. And these drops in up and down were very intriguing for them at the beginning, until they realized that there are thermal flow of a liquid scintillator which just takes out this polonium from the walls of the detector, and they again begin to be contributing to these decays. Therefore, what they did a very, very secure thermal insulation of the detector to guarantee that there is no gradient of the temperature in the detector and that this effect is canceled out. And they finally reached good results, and now they are stabilized with that. And the Borexino plan for 2018-2021 is the following. So now they are planning to do this CNO measurement. Then if they are successful with the radioactive source, they will do a measurement with a radioactive source called SOX, and then they will come back after calibrations to CNO2. So the goal is to measure CNO contribution and improve statistics by factor 2 on GEO neutrinos and add more PP neutrinos and make study of non-standard interactions. In two words, what is SOX? SOX is a detector, is the same Borexino detector with artificial radioactive source placed outside of the detector. And thanks to the very good position reconstruction of the Borexino detector of about 5 centimeters for the vertex, they are able to measure precisely the distance of this neutrino and measure the distance and the energy of neutrino. They can do spectroscopy and oscilloscopy. So this figure shows how the expected spectrum will be modified, just 1 minute, will be modified due to the oscillations. And this is an important picture, how they will rule out the existing phase space of the claims of sterile neutrinos. All right, so this is the GNR group involvement in different tasks. So they are quite few people, and they are dealing with many things anyway. And so the goal for the dark side is finally to go to the 20 tons detector, which will be very, very competitive. So as you can see here, these are Panda and Lux, so these are two best experiments at the moment in this region. This is dark side 50 with 50 liters, and this is dark side 20 tons. So this will be really going by two orders of magnitude further. And there is a decision to combine efforts from different collaborations and make a super collaboration called GADMC, Global Argon Dark Matter Collaboration, and our comrades are members of this future collaboration. They are going to make a prototype with a silicon photomultipliers at CERN to check that this principle will work. And this prototype will be 1 ton prototype. And finally, this is my last slide. So their plans in brief for next 3 years are the following. They are going to continue data taking and data analysis of Borexino experiment, aiming to achieve better accuracy for PP neutrino flux measurement, 2 times better exposure for GEO neutrinos, and they will try to make an attempt to solve the solar metallicity puzzle by measuring CNO and having other constraints. If they are lucky, they will also run SOX. But there is something which does not depend on us at the moment, so we are not 100% sure with this. But even without SOX, the program is compelling, in my opinion. They will do development and tests for the magnetic shielding of large volume photomultipliers and do various Monte Carlo studies for dark side 20 tons and silicon PMs and do some analysis of dark side 50 data. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So as for the other cases, this proposal was reviewed by two internal referees that support the continuation. From our side, it was Antonio that was in charge, and I will give you the floor, so please tell us your opinion on that.
Okay. So first of all, thank you very much for the presentation. It was quite clear. We know that we have several outstanding neutrino projects here in GNR, and they have been scrutinized, and I think they are all performing very well. And because we have the right effort paid by people, by the lab, within the international collaborations. So we don't make just experiment because we want to make. We make because we want to get success. So Borexino is successful, has been successful, but I want to remind what I wrote in 2015. I had already some concerns about the consistency of the group. And then I said, 15th of June 2015, in this perspective, it would be desirable that the GNR group takes clear analysis responsibilities on Borexino and on crucial topics with well-identified leadership roles. So this was not completely obtained. Now, to make a long story short, I see a group which is small, and there is not a driving force at 100%, not even one. The only person at 100%, I thought it was an engineer, because it's mentioned engineer in the report that I evaluated. And now I discovered today that she's a PhD student. The other PhD student, which is totally, for me, unacceptable, is 50%. My PhD students are all 100% on their project, on their thesis project. So what is this? This I cannot understand. Last but not least, I would like to make a proposal, very simple. And I believe that the project is funded for 2018. So I would fund one more year, 2019, to complete the Borexino analysis and the CNO, which is very important, as you mentioned. So one more year for the data analysis, and since SOX is certainly delayed, it's not maybe, it's certainly delayed, I would say that we cannot approve SOX now, and we will have to wait for maybe either 6 months or 1 year to make a new proposal. And certainly I would not be in the position of recommending approval of a very large international project like Darkside 20 ton with such a group. So either GNR has a role and you decide, the management decides that we have to have impact on the experiment. This is a very complicated, large international collaboration. So there should be a role of GNR. Otherwise, you better join another experiment, another neutrino experiment. So certainly this is not the moment to approve for 3 years a dark side 20 ton. I'm sorry. So I would approve one more year of work, 18-19, of data analysis on the Borexino data, which are valuable. There are many, these people are involved in that, it's good. Wait for a new presentation, maybe in 1 year, about SOX, and with the same time scale, wait 1 year to have a clear proposal of a strong group on Darkside 20 ton.
Thank you, Antonio, for this thing. Do you want to comment on that?
Something I can comment. So, in principle, I agree with this approach that the visibility of GNR should be large. So maybe historically this group is always quite kind of a small when they participate in experiments. I still think that it might be okay to go further with their proposal because they have at least a very clear plan what to do, even if they are not maybe impacting as a really great contributor to Darkside 50, because maybe 1 year delay will be significant in terms of losing, you know, this.
I'm talking 20 ton, not 50.
20 ton. 20 ton, I think at the moment this is a dream, more a dream.
So, and I am not in the position of recommending a dream for the next 3 years.
Right.
Sorry.
No, it's this is a kind of a future proposal. At the moment, they are working on 50 kilograms, I think, in dark side.
But my proposal is simple. It's clear and it's not ambiguous. One more year to complete the CNO analysis, or start CNO analysis, to be pessimistic. And then in 1 year they come and make a proposal for SOX, whether the source is there and whether you get clearance at the Gansasso laboratory. We don't fund something which is totally undefined, so 1 year delay. And for 20 ton dioxide, I would like to see a real collaboration with impact, with hardware contribution. Otherwise, they better join, I don't know. There are so many good experiments, strong groups here. We don't need to be everywhere.
Okay, thanks for these comments.
The point is clear and well taken. Any other comments or questions? So I guess that the thing
excuse me.
Excuse me?
Excuse
yes.
me. I think I can comment, Antonio, on this PhD question. So the definition of PhD here in Russia is slightly different. So PhD doesn't actually mean he's indeed right now working on the PhD thesis. So we call PhD everybody who does not yet is a candidate of science. So it's a slightly different definition. But anyway, I think in this case it is easier to share between other different experiments. So it's your comment is not completely valid in that sense.
Sasha, okay. I accept your comment to the comment. Of course, I cannot change the way you make your PhD thesis. In any case, I didn't know that she was a PhD student. She was mentioned engineer. So. Okay, this is your didactic educational decision. You do the way you like. But all the comments on the which I gave previously are still there. So if you want, the students can certainly be profiting of 2018-2019 data analysis, because there will be very good results. Talking about building new experiments, yeah. I think it's a different
I can
story.
Just add that they are not numerous, but they are very successful, in fact.
Yeah.
So this group is very successful.
As far as analysis is concerned, I agree, and that's the reason why I propose that they get one more year.
That could be the reason also to try to come to the large collaboration, even with the knowledge of analysis, tools, and other things.
But that we cannot approve now, I think. It's absolutely out of discussion for me.
Okay, do I understand properly that the resources that you are requesting are extremely modest? It's something like, what was it, 25,000 per year?
Yeah, something like that.
24.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are roughly just for the trips.
Yeah.
Hey, what is the material and equipment? It's very limited, but I don't know what it is.
This magnetic shielding.
For what?
For large photomultipliers, so they are willing to develop.
Well, then we are falling in the trap. This is I expected that this is magnetic shielding for the photomultiplier that possibly will be used by the dark side 20 ton. So, I'm sorry, we are not in the position of approving this kind of participation to a large project like dark side.
Okay, well, I think we should thank the presenter now, and this topic will certainly be rediscussed tomorrow during the closed session. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we move on the reports on the scientific results obtained by the three large experiments at the LHC, and we will start with ALICE by Boris Batyunia.
Today, I present the new results obtained in the ELIS experiment with a participation of the general group. This is a map of ALIS collaboration and the structure of ALIS collaboration you can see here. The ALIS GNR team consists of 11 physicists, including two PhD students, one undergraduate student, and one expert for the root software updating and grid computing management. This is most interesting activity of Dubna team, traditionally Bose-Einstein correlation or so-called femtoscopy physics, particularly for the charge kaons, Quarkonian physics, software and creation of the generators, ultra-peripheral collision at Havaianz, study of the germanium state and the rho zero photoproduction, tender polarization physics of vector mesons, phi and k-star. It is under consideration now, this topic, and the collaboration protocol is under preparation. Grid computing and software activities, participation in the ALIS shift, and ALIS photon spectrometer force upgrade R&D. This is an imaging of our ALIS setup. We use mostly the tracking TPC detector and the silicon inner tracking system detector. Meonar for our investigation of the decay of germanium and quarkonium to pair of muons. And zero degree calorimeter for the ultra peripheral, our investigation, and several trigger detector. I start with a new result of the three-dimensional femtoscopic correlation analysis for identical charge kaon pairs, production in lead-lead, and at the highest energy 5.02 TV per nucleon pairs during the run 2 of the LHC, and it was were obtained and compared with the previous one up to lowest energy and published for ALIS collaboration with our group active participation. And you see the result is here. This is the three-dimensional particle emission slot ready versus transverse momentum, transverse momentum of pair, transverse mass, so-called. And this is the three component of radio out side and long. The direction of this component you can see here. The long direction is parallel to the beam, and the out and side is in the transverse plane. And you see the new result by the red points, the previous result at the lower energy green points, and one can see that these results are compatible, basically are compatible, and also the confirmation of the so-called anti-scaling violation can be seen here. This means that the function of the distribution for pions and for kaons are different. It was our conclusion in our previous analysis and paper, which was published yet. And new result for the comparison of ALIS femtoscopic data for identical charge kaon pair with the new version of the higher dynamic EPOS-3, so-called string flux tube model, including hadronic rescattering phase at the final state interaction as the new step. It was included as a new step. And the results, you can see here, it is a one-dimensional particle emission source ready versus transverse momentum of the pair. And you see that the experimental points, this is the solid point, is compatible. It's very good, compatible with the model one, it's an open point. And this is for lead-lead interactions. And this right picture, you see that the for proton-lead interactions, and it is interesting to see that the good agreement we have only with the hadronic rescattering phase. And you can see compare with this solid point with the, this is a line, and if we excluded this interaction, hadronic interaction, from the model, we have a very large difference between this, for example, red point and this dashed red line, and so on. And this result were reported in the this by the GENAR team in this international forum in Nantes, France. New result were obtained with the GENAR team participation for the Rosiro and JPSI coherent photo production when photons interact through Pomeron with whole nuclei in ultra-peripheral lead-lead collisions. The diagram you see is here. And the result is presented in these four figures. For this left part, you see the good, very good peak for the Rosiro resonance and also for JPSI. This is decay for pions, this decay for two muons. And also the you can see the very good fit result by the so-called Sodian function, the convolution of the Breitwigner green and background continuum blue. And this is the other fit with the blue line is the result of the data with convolution of Gaussian function and pink and background continuum green. This is the background continuum. And in this right figures, you can see the differential cross-section versus rapidity for Rosiro production here, and lower, it is differential cross-section versus rapidity for JPSI with comparison with the different models. And these different models including the different contribution of gluon shedding in nuclei. This is the most different of in these models. And you see interesting picture that, for example, without this including of gluon shedding, the prediction very far from the experimental data. When we include this gluon shedding in nuclei, we go near and near. And when we include it too strong, again, we have far from the experimental data. And the conclusion that the best description for the moderate contribution of gluon shedder in the nuclei. This result were reported in this international conference in Venice in last year. Other new thermal result, new thermal model is proposed in generalist team based on the thermal blast wave, so-called blast wave model with expanding fireball and the solid distribution. This is the generation of the Boltzmann-Gibbs 1. And the hadron differential spectra in PP collision were computed, and particularly for quarkonia. You see the disk quarkonia states. And reported at the DIS International Conference and published in the Physical Review D journal. The results are presented in these three figures for these three states, JPSI, Psi to S and epsilon. You see that this is differential cross section, differential cross section from the transverse momentum here and here, and this is dependent from the energy. Result were obtained from the different energy at the LHC. You see from the LHCB and LHC here, from the Atlas, CMS, LHCB and LHC. Also from the different experiment here. And one can see that very good agreement between the experimental data, this is the points, and from the prediction of the model, this is the line for the different energy and from the different experiment. And the GNR team continue for the activity of ALICE grid. This is our resource of the GNR grid farm. You see that it is a lot enough for the core and the disk space. And we have additional, the special ALICE, the ALICE farm from our analysis. This is a map of our grid at all for ALICE experiment. And from the diagram, you can see that the all Russia institute have the contribution 5.6% to all ALICE grid activity. And this is this sector. It's not so bad because you can compare, for example, with the Germany one. It is more or less the same. And the contribution of JNR group to the all Russian ALICE team, it is 22%. This is this sector. It is also, I think, a very good one. And of course, it is important our activity and this continuum from year to year. And generally, photon spectrometer fourth upgrade is continuing, of course, now. And I would like to remind that the fourth spectrometer just consists of crystalline element. This is a lead element tungsten, which is this formula. The size of the element is here. You can see that this element is from this picture. And the current force setup have the Allange photo detector APD. I think that this is this one. With this size, the some problem there is for the necessary of the cooling system for this detector, for the this minus 28 degree temperature. And the other problem is the large enough time resolution, 2,000, 3,000 picoseconds. And this is useless for the photon identification, particularly selected from the neutron. And to solve the problem, ways for upgrade. The first one, a new APD detector with the increasing of the size in 2 times. And we have near the same energy resolution at the room temperature. And the time resolution becomes much better. You see the 300 picosecond. And the second one way, this replace APD by silicon photomultiplier CPM, which is this enough for this size and the size of the pixels. And in this case, we have much better the time resolution, 150 and 200 picoseconds, and near the same energy resolution at the room temperature. We don't need preamplifier for this electronics, for the detector. And last year, it was the special test run with the special electronic model with this symbol, which has the Ethernet interface was used to measure the pulse arrival time, charged and pulse shape. And this model was elaborated in the laboratory high energy physics of our institute, and maybe the prototype of the measuring card for the modified force. And this is the force prototype which was installed in the CERN PS beam, in the electronic beam. And this is the setup at all for this investigation. And the result you see in this picture, there is a different energy resolution result from depending from the beam energy. And for the different mode of this detector, this is the APD detector, the just old one. And this is the silicon photomultipliers, and this is APD detector with increasing of 2 times size. And you see that the conclusion that the energy resolution is better for the APD with increasing size in 2 times, 10 to 10 square millimeter at the room energy plus 18 degree, and as compared with the old APD detector. For the silicon photomultiplier energy resolution is a bit worse, but the TOF resolution is 2 times better. And this is some result for the time resolution for the silicon photomultiplier. And you see that we can just have this 150 and near 200 picoseconds. It is, I think that it's a very good result. And of course, this activity it will be continuing this year. And now the we had the 5 publication last year with most activity of general group. I think for all our topics that I just reported before, all in the different journals, we had a 5 report in the international forum, international conference, and presented by our colleagues from our group. All reported was present from colleagues from our groups. And my conclusion that the generalist team carries out successfully the physical analysis of the experimental data. All analysis results were reported in the international forum, and some finished ones were published in the periodical journal. Some other publications are under preparation. The generalist grid is going with good results. The special electronics model, this index, was tested successfully in the frame of the 4th upgrade R&D. The good energy and time resolution were obtained for the suggested new APD and CPM detector. And this is our plan for this year, basically including all these topics which I just mentioned before. And the we plan, of course, the preparation of the publication, I think that minimum 2-1. And of course, the continuum our analysis for all these topics and maintenance of the Alice grid software in the GNR computing system, participation in the Alice shift, new test of the detector and electronics of the in the frame of 4th upgrade R&D. My last slide, you can see here, and this is Alice future plans for the long period time, up to 2037. And now we just, during this run two, this is it finished in 2011, and after that it should be several plan, it should be planned, several shutdown, and run three, run four, run five, and so on, up to this, for the, this very, very long period. For example, for the lead at the highest energy, and in this period, run during the run two, we'll be have near 1 reverse nanobarn of integrated luminosity. And the next one, during the run three, this integrated luminosity should be increasing 6 times. And in this period, the high luminosity LHC should be start, and the highest luminosity, it should be increasing 6 times also. And this period, 2018-2023 years, it is a so-called medium-term plan approved by CERN Council with strong support. Because for the next period, of course, it's under discussion and so on, but anyway, during the run four and so on, the integrated luminosity should be increased 1 order of magnitude. And up to this 2037 years, of course, that you see that Alice has this plan, but possible start of the future circular collider, FCC, maybe, and the GNR team considers the suggestions for the participation in the future heavy, high luminosity LHC and possible FCC experiment with up to 39 and 63 TeV energy for lead-lead and proton-lead collision, respectively. It is in the frame of our perspective plan in the GNR, and particularly in the perspective plan in the our laboratory. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for this presentation, and also for the courage to look with the perspective of 20 years. This is open for comments and suggestions. Hans?
Thank you for this talk. I have a question to your slide where you show the time resolution for the silicon photomultiplier detector. It looks like you apply a bias of 66 volts and then go down to 62.5 volts. So in steps of 1 volt.
And is it here?
Yes. Yes, one can read it. And for me that looks, I don't understand it, why 1 volt is making such a big difference, or 2 volts.
You mean that you don't understand why there is difference?
Yeah.
For the 1 volt, 2 volt?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I cannot answer for this question because I'm not a specialist, but I think that it's really this chain for the world for the investigation.
Uh-huh. I only to. And now I have a nasty question, and that is, what kind of physics do you need the next 10 years of running of ALICE?
I think that you know the overall plan for ALICE collaboration. In Dubna, we also presented our plan in our laboratory, and mostly we expect for the increasing the statistics because, for example, for femtoscopic physics, we have some questions, but we can resolve only after the investigation with much more statistics. And also, for example, for the ultra-peripheral physics, we plan, for example, study the 2 rho 0, not only 1 rho 0, but again, we have much more statistics, and so on.
Any other comments or questions?
Yes, question possible.
So, yes, please.
Just stupid question, maybe not for you, for theoretician. For me, I don't understand how gluons in nuclear could have influence on the electromagnetic interaction which we have in ultra-peripheral interactions. For me, it's strange, very strange.
You mean how gluon shadowing and nuclear can influence for this cross section?
Yes, because electromagnetic interaction far beyond pi inside the nuclear could have influence in processes which we have far from the nuclear.
Yeah, because the photon interact with this ion through the pomeron, but it is a hadronic process, and of course that is a the shadowing in the nuclear should influence, is my opinion.
In this case, it's not ultra-peripheral.
It is ultra-peripheral. This is ultra-peripheral. Because ultra-peripheral you see here, because Because what does it mean ultra-peripheral? Ultra-peripheral collision, it occur when ions collide and impact parameter B greater than sum of the nuclei. You mean that impact parameter is just here and is larger than the, this is the distance between nuclei. Yes. But of course, when you have this ultra-peripheral collisions, you can have two possibility. One possibility, this is a two gamma interact with each other. It is so-called two-photon physics. Another one, photon nuclear physics, just as I said before. But it is, of course, you started from this gamma interaction, but you go to this production for the hadrons. This is the hadronic physics.
This is electromagnetic
interactions
of nuclear.
No, this is peripheral. This
maybe this discussion can be continued over the coffee break. Please.
This is really a topical subject, and there is ultra-peripheral collisions that are very actively discussed, so I suppose that this is,
yeah.
It is present. There is.
Yeah.
The parity minus C parity minus rho meson is produced in collision of 1 photon and 2 gluons, and 2 gluons just precisely probe the shadowing. Yeah. This is ultra peripheral kinematics.
Okay. So let's thank Boris again. And now we will hear the report from ATLAS by Ivan Jalecki.
Okay, I'm going to report the results from GINR team at the ATLAS experiment. So I'm focusing, of course, on those results from the ATLAS physics program, to which our institute made and is making the defining or significant contributions. So in fact, we cover all of the main directions of the ATLAS physics program, which is the Higgs boson physics, the several searches for the beyond the standard model physics, the standard model measurements, and of course the software support for the physics studies. Okay, but the first thing I would like to mention is that during 2017, ATLAS showed very nice performance. So it successfully coped with 1.5 times higher peak luminosity of the collider and 1.5 times higher pileup effect compared to 2016. And by now we have over 18 inverse femtobarons of data good for physics of the 13 TeV proton-proton collisions data, which is, of course, very good for physics analysis. Okay, so moving to the results from physics analysis, one of our activities connected with the search for heavy resonances decaying to ZW bosons or Higgs bosons and the gamma photon. And this analysis target is the beyond the standard model heavy resonances that can reveal themselves in this mentioned final states, and they can have different properties, different spins. And you can see on the plots the distribution of the selected data in the search channels together with the background simulation and the signal of the potential signal of the new physics. So as far as you can see, the data gave no hints on the data excess over the background estimation, and that's why the analysis team produced new limits on the cross sections of the new heavy resonances in different channels. And these limits vary from 0.9 to 10 femtobarons, depending on the mass of this new narrow resonance which they look for. Okay, another interesting analysis is the measurement of the vector bosons production produced in association with B-jets. This is an important analysis for testing the QCD predictions. It is also sensitive to B-flavor contents in parton distribution functions, and it is very important background for Higgs studies and beyond the standard model physics. So here you can see the distributions of the selected events, and namely the inverse momentum of the leading B-jet in the W and Z electron channel decays. I also mentioned here that this study is very sophisticated because this is so-called background-dominated study, and the estimation of backgrounds are very important to be very careful and accurate. And here is the result of these differential cross-section measurements with respect to main kinematic variables in this analysis. So here you can see the differential cross-section of the mentioned processes over inverse momentum of Z boson, rapidity of Z boson, and some angular variables. And of course, there are lots of other results in this analysis. So this work is in progress with the time scale for release of about a couple of months. Concerning B-physics, we have several ongoing analyses. One of them is the search for pentaquark states in lambda B-baryon decays at the ATLAS detector. So this study was motivated by the discovery of pentaquark consistent states at LHCb experiment in 2015. And however, we decided to independently confirm or reject this result at ATLAS, but unfortunately ATLAS is not so well optimized for biophysics, so in case of ATLAS we have to analyze simultaneously different B adron decays, namely lambda B, B sub D and B sub S decays. And this plot that you can see shows the reconstructed mass of the selected lambda B candidates together with the major background contributions and the numbers that we derived from data. And we analyzed the intermediate states of these lambda B decays. So the invariant mass distribution of the J-psi meson and proton shows the presence of some new structures which are inconsistent with the conventional lambda B decays. So in addition to this type of the decay, we have here this new exotic decay chain. And fit to data shows good agreement with the LHCb numbers. Another biophysics study is connected with the study of the B sub C meson higher states, namely B sub C to S state, in the semi-leptonic, in the leptonic decays of the B sub C meson. So ATLAS already seen, already saw this signal in the previous analysis, but interestingly, the LHCb experiment didn't see the signal in their analysis. So this current study is motivated by to confirm or reject the previous ATLAS results. And on the plot to the right, at the right side, you can see the recent ATLAS results, which indeed confirms the presence of the B sub C to S signal with parameters very well consistent with the previous analysis result. We are continuing. We are continuing with the study of the two-particle Bose-Einstein correlations in proton-proton collisions at 13 TeV. So, as you well know, the Bose-Einstein correlation represents a unique probe of the hadronization region and allow the determination of the size and shape of the source from which particles are emitted. And for the first time at ATLAS, the Bose-Einstein correlation parameters have been investigated for very high multiplicities of charged particles up to over 300. And for the first time, the saturation effect of the size parameter has been observed in 7 TeV and 13 TeV collisions. And you can see the plot demonstrating this saturation effect at the right side. Another recently published study of our team is the search for Higgs decay into big quarks and in the production channel with the W and Z boson, which is of course a very important part of the Higgs physics studies, and we used the multidimensional multivariative method of the analysis to select signal candidate events. So here plot shows the distribution of the selected events over invariant mass of 2B of 2B jets, and the best fit to the best fit to the Higgs boson signal here. So the observed excess of the signal of a background is 3.5 sigmas, and the observed ratio of the cross section of the standard model expectation is 1.5, with a good agreement to 1. And on the right side, you can see the summary plot for these measurements. So these measurements made with 7 TeV, 8 TeV, and the recent one with 13 TeV, and the combined result. So the combined result is very nice, very nicely consistent with the with the expectation of the standard model. Another important activity is, of course, the software support for the physics analysis. So one of them to mention is the Event Index project. This is the project of creation, the database of ATLAS data and Monte Carlo samples. And this index contains run event numbers, trigger decisions, bunch numbers, Lumi blocks, etc., on the level of on the event level of at the level of each Atlas event. So it is important here that this index is performed on the fly, so during the process of data taking. This event index information is available through the web interface, which is friendly to non-expert users. And for the LHC Run 3, there is a plan to move to upgraded version of this index, which is called Event Whiteboard, and it is supposed to have some extended functionality. And we thank you, and we thank would like to thank the team from Laboratory of Information Technologies that is that works on this project. Another activities to mention is the development of Monte Carlo generators to support physics analysis. This is the development of some CMC generator, and recently JNR team implemented the process of photo production of two Z bosons in this generator, which is very important for different studies at ATLAS, because the photon-induced processes play a great role in several beyond the standard model searches and the standard model measurements. And another software project is the contribution to the XFITTER framework. And for example, our team contributed to the photon PDF determination from the ATLAS data within the XFITTER framework. Recently, ATLAS measured the differential cross-section of the gamma photons associated by the charm quark jet in proton-proton collisions. And our team used this data to set new limits on the intrinsic charm contributions to proton distribution functions. And here on the slide, you can see the results of fit of the models with intrinsic charm to ATLAS data. And currently, the limit on the intrinsic charm contribution have been set at the level of something around 4%, 4.3%, and the central fit suggests the best fit to data suggests the intrinsic charm contribution at the level of 1.14%. So these studies are continuing at the moment. Concerning studies that started recently, it is the search for Higgs boson production in association with the single top quark. This is a very important test of the Higgs physics at LHC and at ATLAS experiment. So this process is characterized by the very strong destructive interference between Higgs to top and Higgs to W interaction vertices, and that's why the cross section of this process is much lower compared to, for example, proton-proton to TTH production mode. So current experimental data do not forbid the different picture where this interference is constructive, and it is potentially possible to observe the production of Higgs boson in this mode with much higher cross-section by the factor of approximately 5. So this analysis is focused on the search for this production mode and for observation of potential beyond the standard model physics that can contribute to the cross-section of these processes. So that brought me to my conclusions. So as I mentioned before, JI and our team at ATLAS takes part in all of the ATLAS in all of the directions of ATLAS physics program. This is Higgs physics, beyond the standard model searches, B-physics, standard model measurements, etc. A set of topical results are obtained by our group, and several interesting studies are ongoing, and we are, of course, tempted to extend our involvement in the ATLAS physics program. So below you can see the our publications from 2017 and our contributions to conferences and meetings. So that's everything from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments? Yes.
In fact, thanks a lot. I really impressed how many things were done by Jenner team in Atlas. Could you come back to page number 6? You see on the left plot, you have something like excess in one of the beam.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
This is simply a statistical effect. So you can see that the amount of events in that beam is, I think, 7 or 8.
No, it's about 10.
7 or 8, yes. No,
7 or 8.
7 or 8, and... Yeah, so this is an effect, a combination of the systematics and statistics effects, so... I think there is no physical effect in that bin.
You didn't try to rule it out somehow, rebinning or something?
This is, of course, yes. There are studies of... there are several studies within this analysis that are dedicated to the quality of description to data, because you can see that the actual signal is just this blue histogram here on the top of the very high backgrounds. So this is analysis that is background dominated. So it is very important to describe these backgrounds very accurately. Okay, so yes, they tried everything to to fit backgrounds to data correctly. Well, I would say it's well within statistics plus systematics uncertainty.
Other comments or questions?
May I ask a question here? About that state B plus C, how do you know this is 2S state?
I believe the prediction. There are predictions. There are calculations of the hierarchy of B sub C, different B sub C states that predict it to be at this level of masses.
At this mass.
Yes.
I see. Which mass is that?
That is about 300 MeV over B sub C ground state.
This axis is theoretical calculation.
In mass difference.
You don't have analysis of the decay asymmetries to see the you don't have analysis of the decay asymmetries to see the spin state.
No, because this is just the first observation of
how many events are there? 20, 25, 30?
So in this case, it's 160 events.
In the peak?
Yes, in the peak.
Okay, thanks.
But I believe that the angular analysis is in the perspective, will be a perspective in this direction of studies.
Okay, any other comments or questions? Okay, thanks our speaker again.
Thank you very much.
There is now a proposal that I hope you will not object to. The proposal is to have the coffee break now and then continue after that with the CMS report. So we break for coffee and we resume back 5:04.